So the epistle for the ascension of our Lord is taken from Acts chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. They therefore, who were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity, of hardness of hearts, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere, the Lord working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Please be seated. And while they gazed on him going into heaven, in the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Paul reminds us that our conversation should be of heaven. We know, obviously, that heaven is the final and perpetual union of our souls with God, and that we have all the joy that we need, that we find in heaven. You know, our Lord spoke very often of heaven itself. When we can see with the Sermon on the Mount, he starts it off with speaking on the 8 Beatitudes. These 8 things that will help us to be blessed, that we will have our happiness from. He starts off by saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And also our Lord promised the penitent the rewards of heaven. We see that very clearly with the good thief. But because of his faith that he showed to our Lord hanging on the cross, that he was promised to be with him in paradise. And then we see in the epistle today that after the resurrection, our Lord encouraged his disciples by appearing to them and speaking to them of the kingdom of God, trying to encourage them, trying to help them to see that. And so that should be a good reminder to all of us to think of heaven. And again, St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, Eye hath not heard, no ear heard what God has in store for those that love him. So he shows to us, we can't really even imagine the beauty of heaven. But it is still something that we must try to keep as an example before our eyes. St. Teresa of Avila used to say, It comforts me to hear the clock strike, for then I feel that I have drawn a little nearer to seeing God since 1 hour more of my life has passed. And it's interesting to think about that. But obviously with being a saint, you know, it's easy for us to like look at her and say, well, yes, because she lives such a holy life. As her time passes on, it draws closer to, obviously, to heaven. But maybe for us, as we look at our lives and as time goes on, maybe we just feel being old and different things of that nature. But I think it's a good thought for us to try to understand and to have that, yes, as time moves on, that it does draw us closer to when God will call us from this life. You know, and she gives that analogy as the clock strikes. As the clock strikes, yes, our life draws closer to seeing God, God willing. That we will have this reward for us that God has in store for all of us. And so that's our Lord's promise of everlasting happiness. It is something that is offered to every soul. And that's where we spend our lives on this earth, trying to gain that. I mentioned on Sunday with the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, that Adam received as a punishment that he would have to work by the sweat of his brow in order to try to gain heaven then. And so, yes, that is how we spend our lives here. Working, toiling, by the sweat of our brow in order to try to gain heaven. And we know that was a punishment that was given to him. It's a punishment that has been handed down to all of us. But then we realize why. Because this life is just a mere test for us. It is not where we're meant to be. It's not where God created us for. God created us for heaven. And so that's where we must try to spend and toil on this earth to gain toward heaven. I mean, a lot of times we talk more often about hell than heaven. I think that can be human nature itself. That we focus on, okay, the negative part of it, we don't want that, so therefore then we try to gain heaven. Or even in a way that we try to escape the everlasting torments, and we think about that with even confession. You know, imperfect contrition, perfect contrition, imperfect contrition. We're sorry for our sins because we don't want to be punished. Perfect contrition, we're sorry for our sins because we love God. But yet, God still gives us the fact that to gain absolution, we can have imperfect contrition. So He realizes that for us. He realizes that in us, that yes, a lot of times we see just the negative. But I think we also have to try to look to the positive of why God has created us. What has He created us for? He's created us to be happy with Him forever in heaven. And so therefore, we need this longing for heaven. I mean, as St. Teresa says, yes, as the clock strikes, it helps us to understand that we draw closer to seeing God. But for us, we can sometimes look at that as, yes, we draw closer to our judgment, where God will see all the things we've done wrong. But we have to try to look and see that if we live a life pleasing to God, if we try to keep His commandments, if we receive the sacraments, if we try to stay faithful to that, God will continue to help us with His graces, giving those graces, handing those graces to us. And that is with this feast of the Ascension when we look. I mean, obviously, our Lord ascended into heaven by His own power because He was God, left the apostles. But remembering that after His resurrection, He appeared to them to strengthen them, to help them to understand. Go out to preach to all nations. And so He encouraged them in the mission that they had. And then our Lord even told them that He would not leave them orphaned. He would send the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost that will come. We celebrate soon the Feast of Pentecost. Just in 10 days, the birth of the church. But it was also the strengthening of the apostles to where then they would give up their lives for God. They would be willing to sacrifice everything for the love of God, for preaching, trying to baptize the people, bring them to the faith. And so that is the reflection for us on this feast day. Yes, our Lord ascending into heaven, the reminder to us, our thoughts must be on, our conversation must be on heavenly things. But it's also to help us to see we must meditate upon heaven. Because the more that we meditate upon it, the more that we see what God has in store for us, hopefully the greater desire we will have to try to gain that. Hopefully it will also help us to see what we will be missing out if we don't gain heaven. And so that's what we must try to strive for. Meditating upon heaven, yes. Some of the spiritual authors have said that the greatest deprivation of this life is that we cannot see God clearly, nor in a sense feel His love completely. But that is what we're striving for. I mean, obviously we have the proofs of God's love. I mean, obviously our Lord left Himself sacramentally present in the Blessed Sacrament as a proof of His love, gave us the sacraments. So we have different examples of the proofs of God's love, the different apparitions, whether of the Blessed Virgin Mary or the Sacred Heart, trying to encourage, trying to help us. But yet we don't see God completely. That is what heaven is for. You know, in trying to prepare the children for their first Holy Communion this coming Sunday, now, there's a question in the Catechism, do you see God in the Blessed Sacrament? No, they don't see God, but God is present, obviously. They don't see Him. But it is a thing, it's a reminder to us of how much that God, yes, He does love us and wants us to be with Him for all eternity. And that is how we must try to spend our lives for that. But just as the fact of, yes, we don't see God clearly on this earth or feel His love completely here, if we die well, we will gain that. Because through dying well, dying in the state of grace, we will reach heaven. We will have the beatific vision. We will then completely feel the love of Almighty God for us. And so that is something that we must try to pray about, think about, to keep that as the goal that we have in this life, of how we spend every day of our life for that, of how we must try to make sure that we root out the weaknesses and faults that we have, things that will keep us from gaining this goal. And so that is why the examination of conscience, that is why receiving of the sacraments are so necessary for us. But then also that the spiritual authors talk about striving for our second conversion. And that second conversion they refer to as a perfect conversion because we want to perfectly love God. And that is something that all of us must strive for in this life. To change our lives if we need to root out the things that will keep us from truly loving God, that we want and desire a holy life. That's the second conversion for us, giving themselves completely to God. And that's what you see with the saints. The saints were able to acquire that. And truly you see with the saints, sometimes they had a first conversion. You know, you think about a St. Augustine, you think about St. Mary Magdalene. But then also then their second conversion comes for them. Where then they go and they strive to love God above all things. And that's what's so beautiful when you think about the life of St. Mary Magdalene. Our Lord even refers to that because she has loved so much. So much has been forgiven of her. Because of the love that she had for God. I mean, and yes, we look at the previous life to that of St. Mary Magdalene, where she was away from God. But yet, that conversion that she accepted, the graces that she received, that she answered to, is what has helped her then to have such a love for God. And so that's where for us, we have to try to gain that in this life before it's too late. But just as out in the world sometimes, in order to succeed, sometimes we have to learn from our failures. It is the same way in the spiritual life. We sometimes fail, we get back up again, and we move forward. And that is the beauty of the confessional, that God gives to us that opportunity, that chance for that. That yes, we may have our failures, we may have our weaknesses and different things, but God gives us that opportunity, again, a proof of his love, proof of his mercy. So I would say, let us strive to love God above all things. Let us take this feast to, yes, to look heavenwardly. As our Lord ascends into heaven, we see with the Paschal candle, it is extinguished. The Paschal candle will leave the sanctuary after the Mass. So yes, a reminder to us that our Lord is gone. He ascended into heaven. But it should also direct our thoughts, our conversations, our lives toward God, to help us to see that we need this second conversion, that we need to root out the things that we need to root out, that we need to try to love God above all things, that our daily life will be an example of that. So let us pray for that grace at this Mass, and also obviously this month dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Turn to Our Lady. She, one who gives us such a great example of a true love of God. Ask for that help. Beseech her for the love that she illustrated for the Blessed Trinity. And let us strive to leave our weaknesses and our faults behind, so we can truly love God for all eternity and be with him as we are meant to be in heaven. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.